Now, joining me is Bruce Williamson from Rail Future, a campaigning group which represents rail users across the UK. Morning, Bruce. The Transport Committee in Parliament has said that these closures go too far, too fast. Can you explain exactly what the plans are?
Well, the plans are pretty much to close every ticket office in the country as a cost-cutting measure, and the passengers will then have to rely on things like smartphone apps and websites and ticket machines in order to buy their tickets. Now, as you might imagine, an organisation such as us is not too happy about that because it results in a worsening service for passengers, and we feel that there are certain groups who, simply won't be able to cope if they don't have that sort of face-to-face interaction with a real-life human being.
Now, how many ticket offices are we actually talking about, Bruce? I mean, there's been a number of about over 1,000 in-person facilities. Is that the kind of magnitude that we're talking about here?
Yeah, I mean, it is pretty drastic. It is pretty much every railway station with very few exceptions. So, count how many railway stations are in the country. I can't tell it off my head. Multiply it by about 0.99, and that's the answer you'll get.
Well, what happens, Bruce, when you actually have a situation where only 12% of tickets are now purchased from offices, these ticket offices in stations, compared to 85% in the mid-1990s? This is going one way, isn't it? We are buying more things in a digital manner. Is this not just simply inevitable?
Well, I mean, we certainly recognise that things have changed and, the rail industry has to adapt to it. But, we want something a bit more intelligent than simply shutting ticket offices. Now, there is a claim that the rail delivery groups say, well, look, we will have staff on hand, which will be sort of equivalent to the staff running the ticket offices. But we're not convinced that, the availability of those staff is going to be the same as the availability of staff in ticket offices now. So we still fear a much worse service for passengers overall.
So what is driving this? Is this just cost cutting on the part of the rail delivery companies in this country? Is that what this is being driven by?
Yeah, pretty much so, yeah, under pressure from the government. The Treasury is always, putting pressure to cut costs, and they put pressure on the DfD, and the Rail Delivery Group says, OK, we'll do this. Obviously, since the pandemic, passenger numbers went down drastically.
Yes.
Which created a huge hole in rail finances generally. Now, things are creeping back up. Many routes are sort of healthy and up to the sort of levels they were before the pandemic. But I think we've still got a little bit of catching up to do in order to sort of, bridge that sort of financial gap between the cost of running the railways and the revenue that the railways generate. And of course, it's an easy option just to say, okay, we'll cut ticket offices or cut staff or cut services or, heaven forbid, do another beaching,
Well, indeed. But then Ian Stewart, the chair of the Transport Committee, has actually said, and I quote, "It is clear from the evidence we heard from the operators that the overall rationale for these changes is based on the behaviour of the majority of passengers." And he says, to some extent, that is reasonable. But it is not necessarily, however, a sufficient approach for safeguarding the needs of a minority of passengers who have legitimate concerns about whether closing a ticket office would remove the support they need. Well, that is the point, Bruce. But then the minority, what kind of minority are we talking about? How many thousands of people are going to be affected by this?
Well, the precise numbers I can't put a figure on, but we know it's 12%. So, yeah. 12% of the number of people who use the railways every day or every year is a significant amount of passengers, isn't it? A significant number of people who are going to be adversely affected by this. Now, our organisation called Rail Future, we want a bigger, better railway, and we want as many people as possible to use that. And if you're cutting off 12% of your passenger numbers, that's going to have a really bad effect on the railway.
It is going to have a bad effect on the railway, absolutely. But you also have to be in a situation where we spent billions on propping up the railways during COVID. Yeah, you are saying, Bruce, that some of the numbers have come back, but you know that a lot more people are working from home, so commuting patterns have completely changed, and it is not what it was. So to keep this whole thing afloat, there have to be some economic challenges have to be addressed somewhere, and this might be one of the things. Now, I do understand the point that is being made here, that some people who are more vulnerable, who are disabled, who are blind, do need support. But Bruce, why are you not convinced by what the Rail Delivery Group is saying in terms of staff that would be pushed out of offices and onto platforms and into stations? Are you not convinced that they will be there on hand to provide support that's needed?
That's part of it. We also, we're not convinced that they will. We have evidence that they won't have the full range of tickets and the full range of knowledge that people need if they're making a slightly unusual, journey, a long distance one, say, and looking for a decent deal. The ticket machine and the website will sell you the most expensive straightforward ticket. But if your needs are a bit different, then you need that interaction with a human.
Do you think that when Mick Lynch actually says that people will not want to travel once the sun's gone down, he's got a point?
I don't understand what he means by that.
I think he probably means that the people will probably not feel as safe without people around the ticket offices. I guess that's what he's meaning.
Sure, yes, I see what you mean. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very important point. The safety aspect, and particularly I think for the elderly and for women and so on, is really important. You want to feel safe while travelling on a train, and getting off a deserted station in the middle of the night can be a daunting experience. Again, that's why it's important to have that human presence there. Now, we're not opposed to change. We're not opposed to doing things differently. That human presence can do a multitude of different tasks if it's approached intelligently. And then that'll be fine, but we're not convinced that it has been approached intelligently. It looks like more of a kind of just a crude hatchet job.
What would you suggest, Bruce, given the fact that the rail network has got challenges in terms of numbers and in terms of the revenues that it is generating? And we all understand that. What do you think should be done? I mean, clearly, do you think it's really reasonable to have no change at all and no ticket office closures at all on the network?
No, absolutely not. Again, I repeat, we're not opposed to change. There are different ways of doing this, and bringing people out from behind the glass so they can meet passengers face to face and sell them tickets and advise them and do some other tasks, I think is the way forward. We don't have a problem with that at all. But it's the approach, it's whether it's an intelligent approach and whether these changes, these new circumstances, continue to meet the needs of all passengers, and we're fearful that they won't.
How important do you think it is to have a human touch when it comes to transport and getting your ticket, getting the right ticket? And actually, it's an accessibility issue and an issue of personal freedom, is it not, that you can actually buy the right ticket with the right support to get where you need to go?
Yeah, absolutely. The ticket machines are great for many, many people, but they're not for everyone. There's the safety issue, which we just discussed a moment ago. That human presence of a railway employee in a uniform looking over the place and taking responsibility for it is really important. And for people with all sorts of different needs, that might be disabilities or might be, weird, quirky personal preferences or whatever, to have the opportunity to talk to a human being face to face is very, very important.
Bruce Williamson from the Rail Future Campaign Group, which represents rail users across the UK. Thank you very much for joining me this morning.